We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Alexander. McCollum staying with him. Spins, gets inside. Left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot. Backdoor. What a pass. What a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This is Dort. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested Podcast, coming to you with a late night episode, Friday, April 19th. Before we dive any deeper in the show, I do feel remiss since I announced that it is April 19th. I must acknowledge and remembrance of the Murrah bombing downtown Oklahoma City. I hope everyone who is affected by that, and either directly or tangentially, finds some sort of comfort. Shout out to Oklahoma City. I tweeted out today, I was in preschool. I think I'm the oldest guy in the pod. No, I think Justin's the oldest guy in the pod.
So close.
We were both in preschool or kindergarten in 1995. I remember that day vividly. Didn't understand the magnitude, but the resilience of this city and the determination to rise back against extremism. Makes you a proud day to be an Oklahoman, even though it's an ugly day. I choose to remember the resilience of this city on that day. So,
well said. I was 4 months old. Nick would have been literally just born. Silva was not born yet.
Silva was in his dad's testicle.
Yep.
Twinkle in my father's eye.
Technically correct.
With that said, Pelicans, welcome to hell.
I was going to say something nice. About the Thunder, you know, and how they've been so great for this community and how we're known for so much more than these things. And then, you know,
Pelicans, and then we did that.
There we go.
Welcome to hell, New Orleans, as the playoffs are set. The number 8 seed New Orleans Pelicans will travel to Oklahoma City Sunday night at 8:30. Hopefully we get there a little bit before Sunday at 8:30. They will play Sunday at 8:30 in the Paycom Center. And gentlemen, as this week has gone by, and my only evidence is social media, I think Sunday night is going to be one of the most insane crowds that this city has maybe ever seen. The dogs are ready to break off the chain. It's going to be nuts in Paycom Center. We've got a full preview, full prediction show for you tonight. We're going to break down every single aspect of this series, our thoughts, all of that. But first, these teams have played this regular season. Nick, can you give us a rundown of some statistics from these two teams' matchup this regular season?
Play the sounder, Silva.
Let's see.
Statistics, Holmes.
There it is.
Boom.
Yeah, I later in the show, I think we're going to get to more like statistics on each of these teams individually and how they may match up, like big picture. But we'll start kind of high level here. This season, these teams played 3 times. The Thunder won 2 of those 3 times. both wins were actually the latest two, which in a vacuum, let me get that out of the way. Now,
there it
in
is.
Vacuum is a good thing because you like you'd rather be on the high side late. So the one loss this season was a 4-point loss back in November. It was November 1st, so like the first couple games of the season. That was actually the game. I didn't watch it because Texas Rangers won the World Series the same night. And I couldn't care less about game five of the Thunder. But it was like a 20-point lead, I believe. And Oklahoma City blew it. And mm-hmm. we were all saying like, oh, well, it's a young team. They're still not ready. Funny that changed pretty quickly. That was the one loss, though. Like Oklahoma City probably should have won that game and swept the season series, but they lost that one in November. From there, Thunder won January 26th by 24 points. So over 20 points. They won again March 26th by 7 points. So like we're going to get very in the weeds on this show. It's a preview predictions. Like we're going to give you everything you need to know about Pelicans Thunder, but to kick us off, and thank you for calling on me first because I never get called on first. I know this isn't like the intro, but it's an honor. Oklahoma
I don't
City
need an intro, everybody. I just dove straight. No, we're here.
This is my intro. This is my yes. intro. Whatever it takes to get me going first. Oklahoma City wins 2 out of 3, probably should have won 3 out of 3. So like when you look at it from that lens, Oklahoma City is the better team. Oklahoma City was the better team this season, 1 seed versus 8 seed. But there's a lot more when you pull back the curtains, and I'm excited to talk about it.
You guys, just before we dive into those weeds, initial thoughts, big picture beliefs, ideas, takeaways, as we finally know, it feels like I haven't watched the Thunder team play in like ages. It's only been 5-6 days. But any big picture thoughts now that the matchup is officially set? We had to wait. We were the very last team to know who we were playing in the playoffs. So we had to wait longer than anybody else. But now that the matchup is set, any big picture thoughts before we dive in and get deep on this thing?
I don't think it's going to be like, although the Pelicans are going to be missing Zion, obviously, I don't think it's going to be some cakewalk, because I think the Pelicans showed tonight and they've shown throughout the whole season, they have a lot of wing depth and they have a lot of tools to throw at you, whether it be Herb Jones, Jose Alvarado, which let me quickly say, who among us thinks they're going to hate Jose Alvarado?
Oh, lately? Yeah.
Oh, I already hate him.
How long will it take for Thunder fans to just be pissed?
One quarter
into game one,
exactly.
One quarter.
Yeah. No, I think they're a very toolsy team. Like, if you take away Valanciunas, they have a lot of. It's a very modern wing heavy team, and I don't think it's going to be some easy series. Like, we'll get to predictions at some point, but yeah, just be aware of that. The Kings found out tonight what that was like.
The Kings found out 6 times this season, JD.
Yeah,
what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
I saw somebody on Twitter already saying, yeah, on paper, the Pelicans are worse without Zion, but they might actually be better. And I don't know that I can get there. You can't overlook the Zion injury as part of this series. I think he was playing phenomenal. Really sucks for him because he was playing maybe one of his best games ever against the Lakers when he had to go out.
I don't know if it's a maybe, Justin.
Yeah, right. Probably not. But you can't overlook that. Like, that's a huge piece. And he was a huge part of why the Pelicans were so good this season, is that he was finally healthy and he was playing a lot and he was finding his stride. And now he's not there. And that changes things. B.I. was pretty great tonight. He's going to have to be really great if the Pelicans want to beat the Thunder. Like you said, JD, the depth doesn't quite match up to what OKC has. And when you don't have Zion, so you're missing your superstar and you don't have depth, you're going to need a lot out of guys like B.I. He could do it. Like you said, he could absolutely will this Pelicans team to some victories in this series. But I think it's going to be a heavy weight on his shoulders.
I think for me, and we're already getting into Pelicans specifically, but the way this play-in played out, the Lakers are on the other side of the bracket now. They're playing the Denver Nuggets, also on the other side of the bracket. The Timberwolves are on the other side of the bracket. So you're looking not to look too far ahead. We'll obviously get into the series a lot tonight. But looking ahead, you're playing the Mavericks, which isn't ideal, or the Clippers, and then potentially looking at the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. I think that is pretty ideal if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are an organization and a team who is not going to look too far ahead. They're going to take it game by game, this first round of the playoffs. But ultimately, I feel pretty good about where we landed, or where the other teams landed, I should say, since the Thunder have been sitting in first for almost a week now, which is crazy to think about.
I love that quote from Taylor. They could make it to the NBA Finals, but this isn't a team that's going to look past the first game, as Taylor looks.
That doesn't mean Taylor can't.
I know. I love it.
Exactly.
They won't do it, so I'll do it for them, damn it.
So, that's right. Jacob, we did an exercise, I don't know, 2 weeks ago on like ranking who you want, who you don't want in the first round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we re-ranked that today, or even if you rewound and ranked it that day, and it was Pelicans minus Zion, where do they fit among the teams that you could have played in the first round?
For the record, we had Pelicans third, in case those,
third out of six, right?
Third out of six.
Are they five out of six now?
Well, third, it was ranked most desirable to least desirable. So they were the third most desirable team.
They fall down a spot, I assume, without Zion. I think everyone would still want Kings, probably.
Especially after tonight, watching them get dominated in the paint.
Yeah, like, I mean, I still wanted Golden State. I put Golden State as my number one.
Really? Okay.
That holds up.
I just think that, like, the reason I mentioned that, if 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, regardless of what the seeding is, because I think 3 weeks ago we thought 3-6 Thunder Pelicans was a real thing.
Right? That's very funny how this has worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you would have said, hey, the Thunder is going to play the Pelicans first round, but Zion's not healthy, I think you're probably pretty pumped about that.
And for the alternative, the record, Zion got hurt on a Tuesday. They came out Wednesday, said reevaluation in 2 weeks. That 2 week mark would put them at game five.
Yeah.
Reevaluation is in 2 weeks. Yeah. That's not cleared to play in 2 weeks.
Yep.
My assumption is he will miss the first round.
Agreed.
That is my assumption.
He's going to God six, nice.
Maybe if it got seven, he'd go out there at 70% and try to play.
Yeah.
But with his injury history, I don't know if they can risk it, to be honest. Let's take our first break of the night on the other side. So that was kind of our initial thoughts. On the other side, we are going to get deep into this series, break it down from every angle. Stay with us. We will be right back. And we are back. I'm about to like rip the biggest burp of my life. Hold on just a second. I can like feel it like cooking. You ever have that? And it's like, it's sitting there in your chest, like in your upper stomach. And it's about to pop.
I just had the hiccups. So that's why I was on mute. So here we are.
Bust.
Jesus. The Uncontested After Dark.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Gentlemen, I thought the first thing we would start with breaking down this series is let's do the top three things the Thunder need to do, the three big reasons the Thunder will win this series, or the big three things that they have to do to win this series. Here it is.
Oh, there it is. Nasty. Not live, goodness. Bro. Hit the Sorry. Mute button.
Hey, I'm kind of like Taylor. I didn't have a chance, and it just came out.
You didn't have a chance. You knew it was coming 6 minutes ago.
I had to pause.
That's a good point.
Transition us.
Jesus. I had like a millisecond, so, you know.
Do you guys want to just start tossing out big key things, and we can choose three? Do we want to do three apiece? Do we want to collectively just choose three?
Let's do three apiece and choose three that we think are actually going to be the big three.
Do three apiece?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll go first.
Well, Nick, you seem ready to go, so lead us off, brother.
Well, you and I were texting earlier. I've been cooking it. So I've got seven.
Okay, Taylor.
How about Nick just takes over this segment? It sounds like.
I'm going to go with three, though. Zion was one of them. We already talked about it. I'm not going to do it. Pace is a big one. If you look at the speed in which these teams play, pretty drastically different. As a result, the shot attempts that these two teams both take, very different. Both teams are very efficient in the shots they do take. None of us are good at math, but if you're both efficient, but one team takes more shots than the other, probably a good thing. So pace will absolutely be a factor. 3-point delta. The Pelicans don't take many threes. In fact, I think they're the bottom third in the league in 3-point shots attempted. Though again, they're efficient when they do take them. I think they're top 10 in conversion rate, but they don't take a lot. Thunder don't take a ton either relative to their like top of the league efficiency. But that should be a factor. And then some of you guys are going to talk about the center situation for sure. So I'll leave that to you. I think the offensive defensive balance will be a big thing. Like both of these teams, how do I frame this? A lot of teams are either really good offensively. Hello, Pacers. A lot of teams are really good defensively, but don't have the offense, like the converse of that.
Hello, Magic.
Yeah, exactly. Both these teams are like top 10 in offense and defense. Like it's both two very balanced teams. We're talking about a team in the Pelicans that, including the play-in, won 51 games. So like neither team's a slouch. Like these are both two really good teams that play well on both ends of the floor. So I think that balance is going to be a big factor too.
I like that you mentioned their defense, Nick, because there was a stat that came up on TNT, and I believe the net rating with the basically the starting lineup that the Pelicans played tonight without Zion, and it was a I can't remember how many games it was, but essentially their second defensive rating in the league. Second in defensive rating in the league without Zion, which is kind of weird to think about. Obviously, that doesn't mean Zion's not, you know, going to be a huge miss for them necessarily, but this is a team who's very competent even without Zion. I have some takeaways as well, but this leads to my third one that is actually not stat based, and that's the fact that I think
it was your second. Sorry, what?
I have three takeaways. My last one,
Taylor, before
one,
you jump into your three, just to recap Nick's real quick. Nick's big three things that Thunder need to do are keep up the pace,
win the 3-point battle,
win the 3-point battle, and what's your third one again?
Just overall, like, stick to balance. You can't rely on just offense or defense. You got to be good at both, like you have been all season.
Perfect. All right. Sorry, Taylor, go ahead. I just want to make sure that we all have a level field and we have this summary of what each of our big three is.
I'll throw out my first of the three that kind of piggybacks off what I was saying about the defensive rating that the Pelicans have without Zion. And we've talked a lot about Herb Jones in this matchup and how he is a great defender against Shea. I actually don't have the stats pulled up because I didn't have time. Shea has actually been pretty good against the Pelicans this season, especially in those two wins. That being said, it's going to come down to other players stepping up, hitting those shots when you have the Pelicans just completely focusing in on packing that lane and limiting Shea's attempts, especially with Herb Jones as the primary defender.
I like it. What are your other two?
My other two, I'll go ahead and combine these, and I promise it'll be quick. But I also have 3-point percentage, Nick, as well as rebounds, just because that's such a huge talking point about Thunder will be out physical and out rebounded, and us on the other side covering the team. We've talked about Valanciunas being played off the floor the last two matchups. Willie Green has taken him off the floor and tried to match the Thunder small ball. In the Thunder's wins this season, they've shot 41.2% from three. That's on 33.7 three-point attempts. And their losses, 33.8% from three on about 35.8 three-point attempts. So they're shooting a little more when they miss those shots. They're forcing it a little bit. Also from a rebound perspective, 38.5 rebounds per games in losses and 43.6 rebounds per games in wins. They're out-rebounding their opponents when they win games. Seems pretty matter-of-fact. But the stats back it up.
They're not a great rebounding team, though. Like, right. to be clear, New Orleans is like middle of the pack. Like, from a rebound rate standpoint, they're like 10th or 11th. But like, this is not a team in any statistic. I think they're better defensively than offensively, clean the boards. Like, they're not like an elite defensive or offensive rebounding team. Like, so they've got big bodies, but they're not a great rebounding team.
And the Thunder's two wins against the Pelicans are shooting only 37.3% from three. So just to tie that back to
the Pelicans are shooting that, or the Thunder are shooting that?
The Thunder are only shooting 37.3% from three in wins against the Pelicans, and they're averaging 45 rebounds per game in those two wins. So it's not the 3-point percentage that is actually kind of goes against my point that I think the Thunder need to hit those outside shots, especially when a defender like Herb Jones is guarding Shea. But they're winning the games in other ways, and they're playing Valanciunas off the floor. They're getting those rebounds when they do so. And so rebounds and 3-point percentage are my other two takeaways, very similar to what Nick mentioned earlier.
Can I add to your 3-point percentage point?
3-point percentage point.
Yeah. The Pelicans don't distribute the ball well. Like, their assist numbers are kind of bad for a team as good as they are, but they're like fourth or fifth in 3-point assists. So like, while their offense isn't like humming all the time, for whatever reason, they generate a lot of good looks from three. So there's something to think about. Like, that is something they do well, is generate good looks from beyond the arc.
I like it. So Taylor, recap your big three again one more time.
Thunder 3-point percentage, especially with the Pelicans locking in on SGA. I had rebounds, and I think that ties into playing Valanciunas off the floor. And then I had other players, basically just big theme, other players stepping up outside of Shea this series if Herb is the primary defender on the Pelicans.
Love it. Justin, what are your three?
There's going to be some overlap, so I'm going to lead with something that is a little different. The Pelicans are the best team still playing on the road, and the worst team still playing at home.
Interesting.
They are 28-14 on the road, 21-19 at home. I think that's going to be interesting in this series, especially in game one. I'm most interested because we've talked about this all week, basically, that Oklahoma City's at a slight disadvantage being the one seed, in that they just found out they're playing the Pelicans. And the Pelicans are coming off two emotional games, a big win at home. That momentum could lead them into Oklahoma City, where I would not be surprised to see them snatch game one. And you guys covered it really well on Wednesday's show. Dignault's comments of like, the time between the games is so crucial. Like, if Pelicans stroll into Oklahoma City and snatch game one, the narratives are going to go unhinged for 48 hours about the fraud Oklahoma City one seed and how they're too young and they're not ready and blah, blah. Like, it's going to go off the rails. How they respond after that's going to be huge. So I think there's a real scenario, because of New Orleans' prowess on the road, that we could be having some of those conversations sooner than maybe we had hoped or planned. I also think Valanciunas is probably my second point. You guys did a good job summarizing it, but in the previous matchups, Chet's play against Valanciunas changed the game wholeheartedly. We're going to need Chet to be a dog. I want to see Chet barking as much as we're barking in the stands, because that is the key to success for OKC. If he cannot play Valanciunas off the floor, that changes the entire dynamic on both ends of the floor for New Orleans. And I think that's going to be a massive matchup to watch. History has shown favor to Chet in this season, but we know the playoffs are a different beast.
Let's put a like a pen in what I'm about to say for later. But Larry Nance kind of changes the dynamic of, well, if Valanciunas gets played off, they got a small ball guy that's kind of effective, or has been of late, at least.
So I was thinking that tonight.
Talk about later.
Jonas Valanciunas has been mentioned multiple times this podcast so far. Justin, I have the stat pulled up here. In the three games against the Thunder this year, Jonas Valanciunas averages 17.3 minutes a game. That's 11th on his team.
That's nuts. That's massive.
That is nuts.
And tonight, I think he went 19-14 Like the Chet advantage changes this series completely. I think the last piece for me is looking at, I don't want to say cliche of like the other guys have to beat you, but I think specifically who guards BI, because I think BI, I mentioned it earlier, Brandon Ingram's play coming back from injury, played pretty well tonight. His play dictates how far the Pelicans can go in this series.
Yeah.
If Oklahoma City can find a way to slow him down, there's no shot. There's no shot for the Pelicans. They cannot win this without Brandon Ingram kind of carrying the team on his back. Not to say he's going to do it all by himself, but he's going to have to carry the majority of the load. I'm curious to see who it is, or who, like, multiple people it is. J-Dub feels like he could cause some issues in that matchup. And I
was thinking about the night, Justin.
It's fun. If I had to single it in, like J-Dub on BI, if I had to get really granular, like that matchup is going to be another one to watch for sure.
So like Dort on CJ in that instance, and yeah. Then starting.
A world exists where every minute CJ is on the basketball court in this series, he either has Lou Dort or Cason Wallace on him, which just sounds like hell.
That sounds no fun.
Was that all three of yours, Justin?
That's my three.
Okay, yep. Recap them again for us real quick.
We've got Pelicans play on the road.
It's big
we've
one.
Got Chet versus Jonas, and we've got, we'll say J-Dub on BI, or fill in the blank on BI.
Justin, your number one point is huge, and I'm surprised it took three of us to get there, but that's why we have smart people like you on the pod, so thank you.
Oh, Justin, just to add on. And
I think Nick just called me stupid.
JD, we can choose which of us goes next, but just to add on to Justin's, no statistics to back this up at all. This is just a straight vibes feeling. I feel like one team has a home court advantage in this series, not just in games, but in crowd, and I feel like it's not very close.
yes, but I think Smoothie King's is going to be pretty hopping for game three.
It will.
Bro, they have the play-in last year. I went to that game in New Orleans. Oh, God, who is the rapper? Taylor, you would definitely know. We listened to him in sixth grade.
I love that Nick and I were recording like dancing videos in my garage to this.
Oh, tell
rapper.
Me more.
I've got the video on my phone from a year ago. But whoever it was like some like B-list rapper that was like had a one-hit wonder back in the day. And as the fourth quarter was firing up, like in between quarters, I hear like the song and I'm like, oh, I remember this song. I'm kind of like headbanging. And I look over and the actual rapper's in the stands.
Amazing.
Like in like the 100 section. New Orleans. And the crowd's like jumping and I'm like, oh, game's over.
Boosie?
Oh, God, way Boosie? Too big. Way too big.
Boosie's too big? This is big. Smaller? Because I'm thinking like Manny Fresh. There's always like the Manny Fresh beats with Go DJ, with Lil Wayne, and the big timers.
Hey, top 10 rappers.
You guys are not ready for the fourth quarter swag surf and pay.
Gross.
That's disgusting. Stop.
The Chiefs started that, and I hate it when they started it. JD, and now it's...
Ugh. You want to do your three next, or you want me to go next?
I can go, and mine'll be pretty quick. Because I think you guys have hit on a lot of the most important stuff. So quickly, mine, I think there is another player the Thunder could, I don't think they're going to play him off the court because he is so needed, but they can make him irrelevant in a lot of aspects. And I think that's CJ McCollum. I think they can attack him consistently on offense. There's so many players that can target him with their off the dribble skills. It can be J-Dub. It can be SGA. I even think Lou Dort can bully him. The list goes on.
I love that one, JT. That's a great one.
Me too.
Yeah. So he's just going to be, I mean, we saw what he looked like in the game against the Lakers. He was really bad. And I don't know. He's just not a player that could stand up against such a modern team, I think. The next one, let's just watch out for Trey Murphy, because in the same way CJ McCollum can be played off the court, I think Trey Murphy is going to be like the swing player for the Pelicans if they were to be like competitive in this series, win a couple games or more. I think it's going to be because of Trey Murphy. He just seems like a player that could kind of explode on this stage. And now, Nick, I saw that. I saw Trey Murphy could be a swing player, I think. So
for what it's worth, I think Shane gets that matchup.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how many guys do we feel comfortable guarding Trey Murphy? He's not some off-the-dribble guy, but it's just someone you have to stay on.
If I had to guess, and Silva, not to interrupt you, and I want you to get to your third, but if I had to guess, the first possession of man-to-man defense, what it looks like for the Thunder, is probably Chet on Valanciunas, Shea on Trey Murphy, Josh on Herb Jones, Dub on Brandon, and Dort on CJ.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And then my final one goes for offense and defense, but it's going to be handling physicality. I remember the play-in game from last year. They were getting very physical with SGA, and he had like a pretty bad first half because of that. Like Herb Jones specifically was just all over him, and you know, he figured it out eventually. But with the way the refereeing has changed, I think they're going to allow a lot of that physicality. I want the Thunder to come back and play that same game. And I think Chet could be a big part of that. J-Dub could be a big part of that. Lu Dort, the list goes on. And that kind of goes for especially like guarding Brandon Ingram. I hope, like Justin was saying, throw different matchups at him. Throw Dort at him. Throw J-Dub at him. Put Chet on him for a few possessions. Doesn't matter. We've seen Chet guard Jason Tatum before. Like he can handle that. So, yeah, those are my three. It's attacking CJ McCollum, keeping an eye on Trey Murphy, and handling physicality on both ends.
Silva, I love all three of yours, but the physicality at that third point is actually the one I probably would have put above my other players needing to step up with Herb Jones guarding Shea, just because watching the game tonight against the Kings, like, for example, there was that play, I think in the first half, where Larry Nance Jr. just completely, like, stiff-armed and just, like, chucked somebody off him and went up for the basket, and there was no call there. Like, the Thunder are going to have to step up physically. We've seen them be a physical defensive team, but they aren't going to get the calls that they're accustomed to on both ends of the floor. How they respond to that is going to be huge for them, not just this series, but moving forward in the playoffs as well. So I really like that third point you brought up there.
I actually had a different one written down. I had get Herb Jones in foul trouble written out, but I was like, okay, I need to rewind and like think about that a different way. And that's how I ended up with the physicality point.
Well, JD, you stole mine.
Well,
because the physicality is top of the list, like above the fold, bolded and underlined, the first thing on my list. It's playoff basketball. All the narrative around this team, they're young. Chet's skinny. You know, some of their guys are smaller, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Their narrative is out there. I think especially if Zion was in this game, but even without Zion, I think the Pelicans' mindset in game one is going to be come in and be the more physical team, be the aggressor. And I think you hit it on the head with the first half of the play-in game last year. I think the Pelicans were that team, and the Thunder came out and responded. I think back, guys, to just last week, about 10 days ago, that Thunder versus Kings game. The Thunder came out of halftime and were like the significantly more physical team and really proved a point. What I want to see, and I think four of the five of us will be at game one. Justin, get in your car and drive up. Let's just make it a whole team pod bonding experience.
Can you ride with me? I'm leaving Sunday.
There you
can
go.
You all driving back at 1 a.m. So
you want to loan me your media credential too? Or?
We'll cut it in half.
You can get on my shoulders and we'll get a really, really tall trench coat.
Oh my God. You're already 6'7". I mean, come on.
You guys will be on the Thunder bench at that point.
Put me in, coach.
What I want to see in game one, obviously, is a win. But what I want to see is that crowd is crazy. Everybody's barking, frothing at the mouth, ready to go. And right off the tip-off, I want to see a different level of physicality. Gentlemen, I'm ready to cash my pass in before the series has even started here.
Oh, boy. Here it is. Plug your ears, kids.
Let me get the stamp.
first minute of the game. I don't care if it's Shea. I don't care if it's Dort. I don't care if it's Dub. Drive to the basket. Defensive play. You remember the documentary of the Redeem Team with LeBron and Wade and Kobe and all those guys? And they were talking about that first game against Spain. And Kobe said he knew what play was coming.
Straight to his chest.
What did he do, Nick? What did Kobe do to Powell?
He went straight to his chest.
First minute of the game.
Yeah.
I want to see someone from this Thunder team just run through a just bulldoze somebody.
There's your card, by the way.
I know. I said I'm cashing my card early.
You know who it's going to be? And also, you know who's going to take... I'm not the random member out here. You know who's going to take three of the first five shots in the series? And who's going to be the guy that does that?
Lou Dort.
The guy that almost fought somebody on the Pelicans last year.
Oh,
yes. Josh Giddey. I love it.
Dude,
that's a good call.
It's happening.
It's a great call.
So I was, as we were firing up the pod, I saw some post-game quotes. B.I. has got a little salt about him over last year's play-in game.
I saw this too.
Does he?
So he made some comments after the game tonight saying like, I don't remember what happened when we played this season, but I remember what happened in the play-in last year. And then just like Jim Halpert stared at the camera.
Hey, bro, I think there's going to be some spice.
B.I. doesn't have it. I'll say it right now.
Not that kind of smoke anymore.
Stop. Stop. B.I. does have it.
B.I. is awesome.
B.I. has some smoke. He doesn't have the dog.
B.I. is sick.
Number one for me was the physicality. That's thing one that will help the Thunder win the series. Number two, and I don't think this is debatable, and this is a really simple one, the playoffs come down to matchups, and the Thunder have the best player in the series. And I don't think it's particularly close. When you have the best player in the series, one of two things happens. A, that player balls the hell out and wins you the series. Or B, the other team has to expend so many resources to cutting off that best player in the series that it opens up avenues for other guys to shine.
Correct.
Throw the double at Shea, and he finds the open guy, and they swing, 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 dunk. Run. Silva was talking about targeting CJ. If Herb is on Shea at the top of the key, run that guard-to-guard screening action. Get CJ on him, and your options are let CJ get absolutely murdered or run a double at Shea. And this team has proven all season long that they will hunt the best shot. So one is physicality. Two is you have the best player in the series. Utilize that to your advantage. And number three for me, that's going to help the Thunder win the series, is I think kind of off-court, kind of on-court big advantage they have, I think, is the guy at the helm. I think Mark Daigneault, no offense to Willie Green. I think Willie Green's a fine coach. I think Mark Daigneault is by far the better coach in this series. And I think if you have the better tactician and the best player on the floor, your chances to win that series, like the percentages climb exponentially. Those two things won't matter if you are not a freaking dog, though. Like,
going back to your first
takeaway. I will consider it a success if we have to call an ambulance in game one. Like, Lou Dort, stick a knife in your sock or something. I don't know. Like, I'm just kidding. But
just
I
don't put that sock in your mouth.
Yeah.
He will. I'm going to put that cigarette in my mouth.
And that dude put a sock in my mouth tonight. Great for him.
Okay, so we tossed out a ton of different topics.
Hey, Jacob. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the Thunder have the best player in the series. Do they also have the second best player in the series?
That was my thought also.
No.
Nick's going to say no. I know Nick's going to say no.
You guys.
I think it's a fair argument between J-Dub and Brandon Ingram, who I'm not sure can even withstand the entire series.
Nick, we'll give you Brandon Ingram, but the Thunder have two of the top three, right?
Yes.
Three of the top four?
Wait, what was the second question?
Do they have three of the top four players in the series?
If Zion's not healthy, yeah.
That's a recipe for a short series to me.
I mean, that's been the recipe for a short series in the past too. It hadn't been. I'm putting my money right now on Wednesday, which we post game. Oh, Wednesday's game three. Yeah.
Wednesday's game two.
Game two. Wednesday's pod. Taylor will have a different tune. He's singing about B.I. Book it.
I completely disagree. If B.I. is Shea, he had 24 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists.
I didn't say B.I. was Shea. I'm saying he's the second best player in the series.
That's fair. But, I mean, he'll look like the best player in the series if the Pelicans are just feeding him and he's the sole source of offense. If that's the case, the Thunder are winning the series easy. And I think there's a difference between him putting up those stats and him being the second best player in the series. And I think J-Dub impacts the game in so many different ways than B.I. will.
We've all thrown out our top three. Let's make it concise, though. Let's trim the fat. Collectively, what is the three things the Thunder have to have to win this series?
I think physicality is something that Silva and Jacob both mentioned there that I think is a fantastic point. I think we have to put at the very top of the list, not just for this series, but playoffs moving forward.
Yep. Can the youngins hang with playoff ball?
I think the answer is yes, but I'm excited to find out.
I think three-point
physicality is number one. What's number two?
I'm putting three-point shooting number two just because, I mean, it's not hard to go look up and down the Thunder's schedule and results from this entire season. When the three ball goes in, they win basketball games. When the three ball goes out, they lose basketball games. You want to win more than you lose, so you're going to have to make your threes.
It's a make or miss league, I've heard before.
I've heard that too.
All right, take us home. What's number three? We got physicality. We've got the outside shot, which the Thunder hunt them. The Thunder are good at them, and they take a lot of them. Best three-point shooting team in the league.
Only one of us said this, but I think Jacob said this, but I kind of want to say coaching.
I like that one, too.
I wouldn't mind that being the third.
Silva, will you rattle off your three really quick, though, also?
Yeah.
So there's one that I really resonated with.
Yeah, attacking C.J. McCollum.
That was a good one.
Yeah, keeping Trey Murphy, like keeping an eye on Trey Murphy, making sure he's not the reason we lose. And then it was physicality, which was our first.
I like coaching there. I like going with coaching if you guys are comfortable with it. I think that's a really great one that Jacob brought up.
What do you think, Nick? I forget, what were yours?
How many have we done? I'm going to comment real quick on the last slide. I think coaching is important. I think coaching is more important outside of the game than inside of the game. That makes sense.
That's fair.
Mine were 3-point delta, which was already selected.
Mm-hmm. Pace.
And
consistency on both sides of the floor.
You got the notes. Yeah. Why'd you ask me, Silva?
Well, no.
I think
pace is a great one too.
I think all the things we're hitting on, it's going to be fun to see this young team. And I think this super chat from Alan McIntosh leads in really nicely. This team's going to come in hungry and ready to ball out. So excited to see them prove the media wrong. Western Conference, here we come. Thunder up from Alan McIntosh. I think if they come out and do those three things we just said, they're going to be in good shape.
I like that. Summarizing our third theme is just play Thunder basketball. We've heard that so much from practice availability here during this past week. Keep playing the same style of play that you've been playing the entirety of the season.
Alan McIntosh, have you seen the movie Blank Check? Because if you haven't, you got to watch it. Have you guys seen that movie?
I haven't. Yes. I haven't seen that movie.
Mr. McIntosh, he's like the fake name for the kid that goes and balls.
That's a 90s at-home VHS classic.
It's
right
a classic.
All right, we also got a super chat from Texan by Nature, who gave us gas money. So
yes.
Wow, that means you're coming.
You. I don't think $2 gets you very far, but
get
I appreciate
you an EV, Justin, you cheap bastard.
I need an electric car to make that work.
Let's
get you some corn nuts for the road trip.
Let's flip the coin on this. This second part we can do a little bit quicker. We're not going to go three for each of us. But the flip side of the coin. What three things do the Pelicans need to do to beat the Thunder? We did the three for the Thunder. Let's just collectively come up with the three that happen that result in a Thunder loss in this series. Injuries and flukes aside, This isn't like Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Cybertruck gets stuck in acceleration and he drives off the bridge into the Oklahoma River type of thing.
Oh, God.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, like, we already mentioned physicality for the Thunder. That's going to be probably the primary issue that they face against the Pelicans. We saw Larry Nance Jr. tonight. Only had 4 rebounds, which is kind of interesting. But him, as well as Valanciunas, had 12 rebounds, 19 points. Like, the physicality, especially down low, I think we could say that is a thing for the Pelicans.
I was thinking the same thing. For me, I made it a little more nuanced as if Valanciunas can stay on the floor, I think that's a negative. That's a red flag for OKC.
Yep.
Right.
Maybe not, though. I don't know if I agree with that at this point.
If he's staying on the floor, it could be a bad thing for the Thunder. That's kind of where I was going.
The implication is if he's staying on the floor, it means he's having a positive impact.
Exactly.
Right.
Or it's a close game and they lose at the end and they can't play him at the end. I mean,
I guess it could also be they're grasping at straws.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to think about that.
Nick, I interrupted you, so you go next.
No, I'll give 2. I think
Nick's just going to close this out. I love it.
No. It's collective. You could say one of them are irrelevant. You don't agree with them. I think one, the Pelicans bench, when you look at them at the surface level, they don't score a lot of points. But they are a great three-point shooting bench. They are a phenomenal defensive bench. And they defend. So they defend, three-point shooting, and rebound well. That's the 3 things I was looking at earlier. The 3 things they do well, I was like, that's only 3 things they do well. Those are 3 pretty important things. Rebound, shoot the ball well, and defend. I think the bench is going to be huge. And if New Orleans' bench, although it's like a depleted bench because if Zion's not playing, one of those guys is playing up, I think that's going to be a big conversation for them. Getting to the line is something New Orleans is not great at. I think if they can get to the line, that's like a big gap to fill. Oklahoma City has been very vocal about they've not gotten to the line as much as they think they should, given how much they drive and Shea and all that kind of stuff. And if New Orleans can like make the free throw battle somewhat consistent, probably not good news for Oklahoma City.
I think the free throw ones is a good one, Nick. I like that.
But you hate the first one, so it's okay.
I actually really like the bench point because I have said when I've like ranked the Pelicans in our order of teams we want to play most in the first round, I don't think they have the depth of the Thunder do. So I kind of like your counterpoint there. That put it into perspective for me.
Yeah. And I'll give you one more. They're really good in transition defense. I'll leave it.
And the Thunder are really good in transition offense. That's going to be an interesting point in this series for sure.
Very fun.
Anyone else have one you want to throw in the pool before we choose 3?
For a second, I thought about this, but I don't even think I can agree. So, but I'll say it and see if anyone else does. What about going too deep into the bench, like playing too many players? Because Barnes
didn't like that.
But I don't even know if I believe that. So I'd have to do like
Usman Jang in 15 minutes in the series.
Yeah,
you know, like I'm not too worried about that.
Does Lindy Waters play?
Go back to
in the I first actually have. Games? I have a super gullible.
I think Lindy Waters gets in, Nick.
How you too?
I had a dream.
Second at the end of the quarter.
I had a dream last night.
Taylor's giving his Martin Luther King Jr. speech right now.
I'm gonna drop off.
I had a dream.
MLK.
That Aaron Williams was inactive for a game in the playoffs, and I was livid.
Inactive is in like a DNP, or inactive is he couldn't play.
No, he wasn't injured. He just was.
He was a DNP.
Listed as inactive. I don't know.
Wait,
dream. I can't control my dreams, Nick. Okay, what? I don't have context. I just had a dream that
you just
he
know Aaron
as inactive,
Wiggins didn't wasn't... play for some reason.
No. It was like he. I looked. It was a graphic. This is all I remember. My dream.
But you, Taylor's seeing Twitter graphics in his dream.
He. No, it was not very vivid, but he has all these details.
Like a clutch points.
No, it was like I was watching the broadcast and Aaron Wiggins was inactive, like not dressing up, like as if he were a G League player, essentially. And I was very mad.
So it was not a DNP. It was a pregame not able to play.
but not due to injury. It was like coach's decision, which is why I got so angry afterwards.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Dreaming.
Turning into
I'm going back to one of JD's mentions on what the Thunder need to do to win the series. I think letting somebody besides, I'm going to call it the Pelicans big two in Brandon Ingram and CJ McCollum. To me, those are the two guys that can create their own shot on this team. Everybody else kind of needs something or someone else to set them up. I think Trey Murphy the third is awesome. Trey Murphy the third isn't catching in a standstill position one-on-one and cooking, right? He's catch and shoot. He's attacking off the catch, off the pump fake. He's awesome, but he's really good whenever somebody else is setting him up. Mm-hmm. If one of the Pelicans' big two really gets in a groove and gets going, that's the problem for OKC. You got to cut off the snake at the head, and that's with those two guys. If you let that bleed over and it's like you're constantly in over rotation, that's allowing Trey Murphy the third to like splash some threes and then attack off the dribble on you, then you start to run into problems. So for me, I think one of the ways New Orleans wins this series is they get the auxiliary pieces humming and rolling and making large impacts in the game. When you look at a game and you say, man, it's not Ingram that killed us scoring, it was Trey Murphy because CJ and Brandon Ingram lived in the lane and kicked out to him, that's when you have the problems.
Who is the random guy that people learn about in this series? Thunder fans learn about in this series?
Najee Marshall. He had a great game tonight.
It's a great nomination.
Nobody else? Dyson Daniels, maybe, depending on his defense and if he
scores. Jacob used to preach the gospel of Dyson Daniels.
I love Dyson Daniels. I would say Jose Alvarado.
People know him, though. I think Najee Marshall.
Know him like this?
That's a good point. It's a good point. They know him as the guy that steals the ball.
The Pelicans this year, I saw Najee Marshall play, and I thought, yeah, that's a replacement level NBA player. Like, he's not doing much out there at all. And that's a very small three-game sample size, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
All right, so what's our three things that the Pelicans need to do to win this series? We've thrown out a handful of them. What are we settling on?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What do you think? I mean, you've jotted down the notes. How many we got?
I haven't jotted down anything, brother. This is all off the dome. It's 12:06 a.m. You think I'm taking notes right now?
Well, you took notes last time at 11:59 a.m., so.
I did not take any notes last time.
Hey, physicality.
Steel trap.
For the Thunder.
We can't do physicality again. No.
Yes, we can for the Pelicans.
Oh, all three, just makes just the same opposite. Three, but the other side.
We can't do that.
I think my I'm not saying to do that.
I think Pelicans auxiliary pieces getting hot is one reason they will win. Nick, what were your two again?
Bench and
free throws.
I did transition defense late and then free throws. Yeah.
I say we go with auxiliary pieces. Bench kind of ties into that.
Yeah.
The free throws and then take Taylor's like rebounding slash the Pelicans like being the aggressors. I think if those three things happen consistently for 6 to 7 games, the Pelicans can win.
You guys didn't ask me mine because I don't remember them.
You said Mark going too deep into the bench.
Oh, you're right. But I didn't actually believe it.
Yes, that's why we didn't go with it. All right, before we hit the break, let's wrap this section up. I have a few superlatives I thought we would hit. So let's just kind of rapid fire on these. No, like 5-minute deep dives into why you believe this, but let's just get these ones out quick. Who will be the series MVP, JD?
How about Jalen Williams?
Okay, Justin. Who will be the series MVP?
Taylor.
I'll be contrarian here and say that Chet has a huge series for us. And that is a huge reason that they're able to play Valachinos off the floor.
Nick.
It's Shay.
I'm going to go Shay.
Not getting cute with it. Yeah, Shay.
Although if it was Josh, that'd be dope. That would be absolutely dope if it was Josh. Next superlative. Which non-star player provides the spark in this series? Speaking of spark, JD, the spark of the series. You got something you want to tell us real quick?
I do. Spark joy at Scissortail Park's family-friendly joint, Spark. Dive into their menu of burgers, bites, and cold delights. Don't skip the must-try BLC burger, pink fries, frozen peach club special. If you ask for it, they'll give you the one with the blue sugar, and it's the Thunder Club special. And rotating custard flavor of the month, which right now it's the lemon, poppy seed, blueberry. Damn it, I want it. I was going to do it tomorrow. It's going to be too cold. Wouldn't make sense to get the custard, but you know. Located west, directly west of the Paycom Center, Spark is the best spot to hit before or after a Thunder game. We all know two scoops or even three scoops of custard is better than one. So be on the lookout for Spark number 2 and 3 coming to Chisholm Creek and Nichols Hills later this spring and summer.
Nick, who is your non-star spark of the series? The guy coming off the bench who is going to make the difference in a game, maybe a pivotal game, maybe a road game, maybe a couple of games. Who is that guy for the Thunder for you?
Isaiah Joe.
Heyo.
Just for the shooting?
I mean, it's like, what guy could make a difference? Maybe the guy that shoots incredible from 30 feet. Maybe that guy.
I like it. Taylor, who is your spark of the series?
I'm going with the dream I had last night.
Oh, my gosh.
Aaron Wiggins.
You're not.
He didn't play, but he's all of a sudden winning the series in your dream?
I don't control my dreams, Nick. Once again, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Aaron Wiggins is going to play a huge role for the Thunder team in the playoffs, even beyond the series. And I'm really excited to see what that looks like with his rotations.
Taylor, next time you see him, do not tell him that you dream about him. That's the first
that
thing
would
you
be
not do.
Very weird.
I need to pull. I can't control my dreams.
You do. Please.
Taylor thinks he's Paul Atreides over here.
That's right.
Hey, speaking of Justin, before Justin's it's Paul. Your turn for Spark of the Week, we got to give a massive shout out to Justin Peabody. The Dune 2 Thunder playoff graphics have been absolute. He deserves a better sounder than that, JD. What do you got?
I think that was pretty good.
What do I got?
Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy, I'm about to bust.
I was hoping you had like the Dune the soundtrack on
Locker. Yes.
Well, right, that was at 56-55.
That's that so good. No, yeah, that was so good.
Way too good.
What? How'd you do that? Was that a sounder?
It is now.
To be honest, cow. Whenever Nick started the Lord Have Mercy, I thought the sounder was playing. So, Justin, who is awesome. Your spark of the series?
Okay, this idea just came to me. Bear with me. It's after midnight.
It's also 420.
What's happening?
There it is
technically 420.
I'm going with Joe also. Yeah. I think he's due. I think he's gonna be the guy on this Thunder team that Pelicans fans learn about.
Ooh, I like that.
JD, who is yours?
Fuck it. Gordon Hayward.
cash the card.
Why are you cashing Gordon it before the series starts?
Why
bro?
Would you cash it on Gordon Dang. Hayward?
Hey.
If he goes off,
you guys don't know.
Me.
Oh my god.
JD and I made about 10 counterfeit cards. We're cashing them all series, baby.
Jesus.
You gotta do two bleeps now, JD.
I know.
You also Poor stole guy. Mine, son of a gun.
I said non-star. Does Josh Giddey count as a star?
No.
No.
Give Sorry, me Josh Giddey as my spark of the series.
I love
He
that.
Always plays well against the Pelicans.
Good.
I kind of also have a hot take about Josh. I don't think Give I it. Should drop in the spark. I think I should wait for the hot take.
Mm.
So our last thing for this series, before we dive into some league-wide stuff, what is your hot take
Ooh.
Of this series? Speaking of hot takes and hot things, Justin, you are a hot thing. Tell us about
Hello.
Some hot chicken, please.
The East Hollywood pop-up sensation turned fast casual superstar Dave's Hot Chicken is now serving Oklahoma in Bricktown, Edmond, and coming soon to Chisholm Creek. Their mouth-watering sliders and tenders are offered at 7 spice levels, ranging from no spice to Reaper, which requires a signed waiver for those who dare. Each piece of hand-breaded chicken is spiced to order using a blend crafted specifically for its heat level or no spice at all, along with sides of house-made kale slaw, creamy mac and cheese, and crispy seasoned fries. And try the new Dave's Not Chicken, cauliflower slices that taste just like Dave's Hot Chicken, but they're not. Visit Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown right next to Fuzzy's Taco Shop before or after the next Thunder home game. Can't imagine anything better than some Dave's and some playoff basketball.
Justin, you read the ad. You lead us off. What is your hot take of round one Thunder versus Pelicans?
My hot take for round one is going to bring back an old hot take that I think I had, but don't go pull the tapes in case it wasn't actually this. Isaiah Joe drops 30 in this series.
In a game?
In a game. Well, yes, in a game, not overall.
Not That's collectively.
Not very hot. In a game. So building off of my spark, I think Isaiah Joe is going to have a reaper of a game at some point in this series and make the Pelicans fans wish they hadn't signed the waiver.
I love it. Are we ranking
That's spicy
for each one?
Yeah, we have to.
Give me extra hot.
That's what I was going with.
Yeah, extra hot.
I agree. Yeah, that's like it could happen. Like none of us would be probably shocked. We'd rave about it, but I wouldn't put money on it. No Jonte Porter as
that's probably smart.
That's what Larry Nance Jr. said tonight. Do you guys see that clip? He said
no.
He said, I'm betting on the Pelicans. So I'm not actually betting. No Jonte Porter. He actually
didn't
said
see
that.
That.
In a
That's amazing.
Interview.
So good.
I wouldn't want to be a Porter brother. God. Got a 1 out of 3 chance of not being a scumbag.
Well, hey, four.
And the one that's not has never met a shot he didn't like. So good for him.
We also podcast with interesting individuals. Nick, what is your hot take?
It was one shot he didn't like.
My hot take, and this is not meant to indicate the Thunder is going to have a bad playoff stretch upcoming. My hot take is Thunder fans are going to get real comfy in the Paycom Center because they're getting 4 home games in the first round.
Oh, so we're going 7.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a slow burn. Like this young team has risen to every occasion, but it's kind of taken a little bit of like trial and error figuring out. Like, I don't think going 7 against the Pelicans is a bad thing. Like, it's going to be a lot of lessons learned, but I think it might. And I don't think that means if they go 7 with the Pelicans, they're going to get flamed out in the second round. But I do think it may go 7 because it's going to take them a bit to adjust to this type of game and the style and the rotations. And these dudes are 22, 23 at most.
That's fair.
Let me look at their lineup. So I think it's going to go 7. You're going to get 4 home games in OKC round 1.
I'm giving you a hot on this one.
I think that's where my head's at too. It's a little hot. I don't think it's crazy though.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll go hot.
Taylor's like, I can't buy courtside tickets 4 times.
Don't have to buy them if you get them gifted.
I'm going extra hot. I just don't. If we go to 7, I'll be in a dark place. Yeah. I don't want to face that reality.
Well, JD, you're up. What is your hot take of the series?
How about this one's for Nick? How about J-Dub averages more points than Brandon Ingram in the series?
I think that's extra hot. That's
tough. I'm going extra hot too.
That's tough. If Zion was playing, I may, because then that's like second best player against second best player. But if Brandon Ingram's not averaging 25 a game, this might be over quick. And like, maybe that's the case, but I think Brandon's going to have to come out aggressive.
I thought about saying he just outplays him, but points seemed, you know, more
direct. Outplayed, I don't think would be a hot take.
Yeah.
But given, I think Brandon will take 6 to 7 more shots per game, I think it's going to be him on the points.
Taylor, I agree. Oh. I was going to say extra hot too. Sorry. Okay. Taylor, go.
Taylor, what's your hot take?
I didn't have one coming into the podcast. Literally have been spitballing, thinking about hot takes.
Don't do that.
Or the segment.
I've never seen you be without a comment. So
I know. And here I am. I feel like I'm coming out pretty spicy.
Oh, God.
Dramatic pause.
Cason Wallace comes out with a buzz cut game 1.
No. J-Dub, Jalen Williams, has the highest scoring game in this series amongst all players.
Hell no.
I like that.
40 piece for J-Dub.
I know you like it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I like it. In the spirit of the segment.
I'm putting that at extra hot.
I'll give you a hot on that one, Taylor.
I'll give you a hot.
Okay. Got some believers.
What's more likely, J-Dub scores the most of any player in the series?
Wait, were you talking like a single game? Like his single game high?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct. Of all players in this series, J-Dub will have the highest points in a game.
What's more likely, that or Shea drops 50 in the playoffs?
What is more likely?
Oh, that's actually Shea really 50 tough. Ball.
That's what I think too. So I think it's
extra. I think high. I disagree.
I think Shea's dropping 50?
I don't think Shea's dropping 50. That's why I disagree.
So you also don't... Wait.
They just love
I think Dub 31. Is likely, is more likely.
To a circle. All right, my hot take. 2 home games in OKC to kick this bad boy off. 2 triple-doubles for Josh Giddey.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. That's good.
Jesus Christ.
Reaper!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm not saying like a 30-point triple-double. It might be like 10, no. 11, 11.
It's a Reaper, bro.
Agreed, agreed. Reaper. I think that's still a Reaper, and I love
it.
It's a Reaper.
I love it.
Is
love
everybody going Reaper?
Reaper.
Actually, I'll give you Reaper. I take it back.
I'll show you the Reaper.
What, did he have four this year?
Yeah.
You're saying he's going to have back-to-back in the playoffs?
Like, yes.
I would really hate the guy at that point.
That's what I'm going with, folks.
If Josh Giddey has back-to-back triple-doubles, you have to grow out your hair and have the same haircut as him.
Oh, my.
Same probability of me growing out a playoff beard.
Yeah. Why, if I'm right, I get the punishment?
That's really a reward for all of our yeah, all of our viewers.
What happens?
Jacob pushing his hair back all pod long.
Low.
Let's take a break. On the other side, we will make our official predictions for the playoffs. We will be right back. And we are back. Gentlemen, we made an agreement that we would continue the predictions contest into the playoffs. It's kind of hard to do them in the playoffs because it's like so much stuff changes so quickly, so we can't do single games. So I have come up with the rules. If you all disagree with the rules, tell me that you don't like them. Okay. And we can workshop something else.
I would like to preemptively tell you that I don't like them.
I think they're pretty fair. We're going to predict first round matchups. If you guess the correct team to win the series, that gets you 1 point. You also have to guess games. If you get the games right, for example, Celtics in 5. If the Celtics win, you get 1 point. But if it was in 4, you just get 1 point. But if you get the team right and the number of games right, then you get 4 points. 1 for the right team, 3 for the right number of games. So if you guessed Celtics in 5 and it's Heat in 5, you would still get 3 points because you guessed the correct number of games, but you don't get the 1 point for the Celtics being correct. Nick is giving me the stank eye.
Nick,
if you guess the team wrong, should it just be 0 points regardless?
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. If you don't pick the winner, you shouldn't get anything.
Yeah. Perfect. So you got to guess team for 1 point, total number of games for 3 points. We'll do it for first round, second round, conference finals.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Nicholas, would you like to kick us off?
Sure.
Out East, number 1 Celtics versus number 8 Miami Heat.
Interestingly enough, Vegas has the Celtics sweeping as the most likely outcome. I'm going to take Heat in 5. Celtics in five. Sorry.
And with that said, screw Vegas.
Heat win one game and the Celtics win in 5.
Nick got an early start on 420.
Is it a gentleman sweep or is it a douchebag sweep?
What's the difference?
The douchebag sweep is you lose the first game and then you win the first game and you lose the next 4.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and then the gentleman's sweep is you give them 1 on their home court.
I actually could see the Heat winning game 1 and then getting swept.
Sure, going the douchebag sweep.
Yeah.
All right, JD, got that down. Nick's got Celtics in 5. Taylor, what do you got?
Down. Had to pull up the bracket I did on NBA.com. I have Celtics in 6, but that was prior to the injuries, but I'll stick with it.
Wow.
Justin.
I have to.
Celtics in 5.
Ooh. Give me the Celtics sweep. Celtics in 4.
Heyo.
JD.
Give me Celtics in 4.
Wow.
Heyo.
All right. Next one out East, we have 2 Knicks versus 7 76ers.
We only have 1 Nick.
Wish we had 2 Knicks.
So I heard the same thing I did.
Wish we had 2 Justins.
Wish we had 2 of all of us. We could have a competing podcasts.
Hey, we could play 5-on-5 against ourselves.
I'd take us in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
We got the dog.
Oh.
What are we doing?
Europe. Knicks versus Knicks. 76ers.
Wow. Knicks in seven.
Okay. I will go Knicks in six. I just said that because it's fun to say.
Okay, Dr. Seuss.
Retweet for me. Knicks in six. What I have on my bracket here.
Justin?
Gosh. Sure. Let's keep rolling with Knicks in six just because it's fun.
Sons of guns. Nick.
Sixers in seven. Ooh. They have not lost this
that's
month.
That's also fun to say. So good
they
job.
They have not lost this month.
Sixers and six. We didn't do that one.
I like it, Nick. If they need more Nick Batum games like that, they're in trouble. I don't think they will. But if they need more of those, they're in trouble.
My counter to that is, do you believe the Knicks are that much better than the Heat?
Yes.
Oh.
Next one out east, we have three Bucks versus six Pacers. Justin, what do you got?
Hold on, Taylor, what do you got?
Bucks and seven.
Bucks.
Justin, what do you got?
Like a legitimate belch. Give me Pacers and six.
Ooh, I like that. It's fun.
Nicholas?
Oh, shit. I got to write this down. I was in the trance after Taylor's Bucks.
I'm going to go Bucks and five.
Oh,
wow.
Without Giannis.
Yeah.
Until later.
Taylor, did you guess Bucks?
Yes. Bucks and seven.
Seven. Okay.
J.D.
Oh. Oh, Pacers in... six.
What's the fascination with the Pacers?
I just don't think the Bucks are very good.
I agree, but the Pacers are like this fun Tyrese Halliburton, Pascal Siakam. They weren't good all year.
They're good enough to get the sixth seed.
The sixth seed in the East?
Hey,
congrats, brother.
In the East, you could have been 2-12.
Bro, how dare you belittle the in-season tournament this?
Howie has not been the same since his injury.
Exactly one team won 50 games in the East. So six means zero to me. Like the Rockets could have been the sixth seed in the East.
Tell me what happened the last time the Bucks were in the playoffs, Nick.
Okay. The Pacers.
And now they have Doc Rivers, a clear playoff savant.
Yeah,
so,
Rick Carlisle, fantastic for the Pacers. Yeah,
we got boys. We got a mid off
about the Bucks.
But like, bro, the Pacers defense. Like, the five of us could probably score 110.
How much you want to bet?
That's bold.
Have you ever seen JD shoot a basketball before?
Yeah, it doesn't look great.
We'll see.
Not great.
Give me Bucks in six.
But Bucks in five.
All that to say Bucks in six?
What?
Bucks in seven.
What?
I'm giving the Pacers more credit.
I didn't take the Pacers. Why are you yelling at me, Taylor? Yell at these two. All right. Last one in the East. I'm dubbing this one what JD gave the name of a different playing game earlier this week. The Asshole Bowl. Four Cavs versus five Magic. JD, I want you to know that Monday afternoon, I got a text from my mother that in all caps just said Asshole Bowl! Exclamation point.
Oh my God.
I don't even know when did I say that?
I think it was the Lakers-Pelicans game. Yeah, you called it the Asshole Bowl.
That's funny.
All right, JD, tell us what happened in the Asshole Bowl, Cavs versus Magic.
It gets pretty stinky. Magic in seven.
So tell me why this game is stinky and both teams suck, but they were both better than the Pacers all year long.
Well,
yikes. Let's praise the Pacers.
I agree with that. I'm with Nick.
I just wanted to say it was stinky because it was the Asshole Bowl. That's really it.
Is this what happens when the podcast runs past 12:30?
Yes.
100%. That's it, Justin. I got Magic and six. Justin, what do you got?
Give me Magic and six also.
Taylor.
Cavs in 7.
Nick.
Cavs in 6.
Let's jump out west. 2 Nuggets, 7 Lakers. Taylor.
Nuggets in 6.
Nick.
Nuggets in 6.
Justin.
Nuggets in 5.
Ooh. I'll take Nuggets in 5 as well. JD.
Nuggets in 4.
Damn.
Hey-o.
Lakers.
Damn. Shout out the Nuggets.
Damn.
I love it.
JD manifesting.
Damn it. I can't just go chalk.
Maybe for me, the most interesting series in the playoffs, 3 Timberwolves, 6 Suns. Justin, lead us off.
I really want to say Suns in 4, but I'm not going to. I am, however, going to say Suns in 6. Don't look at me like that, Nick.
Nick, what do you got?
Got Wolves in 5. I don't know if the Suns, like, could they get hot for sure, but zero depth, zero defense, and a recipe for success.
And a bunch of absolute destroying of the Timberwolves all season.
Yes, but I Timberwolves defense is legit. I think now that they're healthy, good night, Suns.
Taylor.
It's going to be a hell of a series for the reasons you all mentioned, especially the regular season matchups, but I got Wolves in 7.
JD?
Wolves in 7.
I'll take Suns in 7.
I think I'll give too much credit to the Suns.
I don't think they're good, but I don't think you have to I don't be think good to good. Win
the
series.
They're a nightmare matchup for the Timberwolves, and I don't know if Karl-Anthony Towns can stay on the court.
Nick, what was your prediction?
I said Timberwolves in 5.
Nice.
Like their defense is so damn good. Like maybe Agreed. They struggled against the Suns in the regular season, sure. Like their defense is so damn good. And against a team that all they have is, well, I guess we're going to try to outscore you. That's great.
I think their great drop defense becomes a problem against the mid-range shooters. And I have no clue who Karl-Anthony Towns guards.
Yeah, and that's a problem until game 2 when 2/3 of the mid-range shooters are on the bench hurt.
That's kind of
really? You think the Suns are going to stay healthy for 7 games?
We'll see.
No, they're not. Spoiler alert, they're not.
4 Clippers versus 5 Mavericks. This might be the asshole bowl. Taylor?
That's correct.
Wait, sorry. Let me pull it back up. Mavs in 7.
Pull what back up?
I had to go back. I told you I'm going back off the. I don't want to like it go against what I picked earlier in the week.
I see.
Sorry. So what'd you say? I was too focused about you pulling it up.
It's the Mavs in 7.
Easy. Mavs in 7.
Mavs in 7. Nick.
I think Mavs in 7. Similar reasons to Suns. There ain't no way the Clippers are playing healthy.
I got Mavs in 6. Justin?
Give me Mavs in 6 as well.
JD, you going to be the sole Clippers guy on the pod?
Yeah. Clippers?
Yeah.
I was going to go Mavs, but I got to... If there's any hope for me of winning this, I got to do something here. Clippers in 7.
All right. Last Western Conference matchup. Number 1, Oklahoma City Thunder versus the number 8, New Orleans Pelicans. Game 1, Sunday night, 8:30 p.m. in the Paycom Center. Game is going to be bonkers.
Cannot wait.
These fans are fired up. Hey, the homie, Nane, jumped on a flight in Tokyo and is now in Oklahoma City. I love Nane to death. She's taking pictures in the Oklahoma City Walmart.
Like, so good.
Which is awesome. Just incredible content. Like, we got people from Japan in for this game. Like, that is... The vibes are strong. I think the energy is going to be absolutely insane. I think all of us are going to be tweeting just about, like, how loud that place is going to be. How insane how much barking is going to happen. Shout out to J-Dub. J-Dub showing off the shirt on the YouTube channel, barking with the uncontested shirt. Go buy one, by the way. You should. They're dope. We've broken it down. We've given our top three things. We've given our MVPs. We're given ways they win, ways they lose. Who's going to be the spark? Who's going to be the hot take player of the series? Justin, I'm coming to you to lead us off on this one. Who wins and how many games in this Thunder versus Pelicans matchup?
I am going with Thunder in six. I think, like I said earlier in the segment, the play of the Pelicans on the road, I think, is going to play a factor. I wouldn't be surprised if both of those Pelicans wins manage to come in OKC, but I think at least one of them will, and I think there's a chance it could be in game one.
Nick?
I agree. My hot take was a seven-game series, but it was a hot take for a reason. I actually think it's going to go six, though. I think Oklahoma City wins.
It's exactly what I have. Thunder in six, they win back home in Paycom.
I thought Taylor would say sweet.
Wait, sorry. No, six will be in New Orleans.
Yep.
That is why I'm going OKC in five. I think they get the first two in OKC. I think they lose game three. I think it is an absolute fist fight war in game four that they win. They ride those vibes back to Oklahoma City. I think game five is going to be a banger. Thunder take it in five. JD?
Thunder in five. For all those reasons.
Damn.
Nobody took the Pelicans.
I've got a question, though, on the topic. If there's a Pelicans pod out there right now that's live, and there probably is one, what are they saying? What do you think that a Pelicans fan actually thinks about this series?
I think they're saying Pelicans in seven.
Think so?
I think so.
I've already seen tweets before we started this podcast about how, oh, the Lakers loss was a blessing in disguise because now they have a real shot to beat the Thunder.
Oh, boy.
I think Charles Barkley on TNT, Nick and I in the group text with my school friends. Yeah, he said sweep for the Thunder. Mm-hmm. I thought he was saying Pelicans.
No, he said Thunder. Stoney was saying. No. He was saying he hopes the Kings win because a Zion-less Pelicans stands no chance. They're going to get swept by the Thunder.
Gotcha.
Hey, there's some national media narrative
there
for you.
There you go.
Gentlemen, it's 12:35 a.m. Our playoff preview is officially a wrap. The next time you will see our faces on your screens will be after game one in Paycom Center. I do not think Nick will be on that show. Is that correct, Nick?
I will be driving back to Dallas, Texas at the early night.
I believe the rest of us will be on that show. It'll be a late night one. Some of us will be heading home from the game, but we will get fired up ASAP and bring you all the content from the Paycom Center. Hopefully in a Thunder win in game one. So make sure you sub to the podcast, sub to the YouTube channel. Drop that like while you're here. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the show. We appreciate all of you. I think a record number of live viewers on the stream tonight at 12:40 a.m. That's stupid. The degenerates were out in full force. Everyone is fired up. They're ready to go. Hey, if you will be there Sunday, bark your ass off.
And you find us audio, at Thunder Up in the Park. We'll be there.
Yeah, we'll have stickers. We'll have everything you need. Get there early.
Bark at Taylor.
Yes. That's right.
Hey, it's kind of becoming a thing on the show now, too. As we sign off before game one of the playoffs, I need one bark from everyone, from right to left, starting with Nick. Here we go. See you Sunday. Enjoy the weekend. And as always, Thunder up.